Well, it was NFL playoff season. It's kind of nice that that's not going to be for a while. It can be a little distracting. But that's the time of year it was in the life of the Smart family. Mrs. Smart was fumbling in her purse looking for her offering when the plate was coming by when a large television remote fell out and clattered in the aisle of the church. The curious usher bent over to retrieve it from her and whispered, "Do you always carry your TV remote to church?" "No," she replied, "but my husband refused to come with me this morning, and I figured this was the most evil thing I could legally do to him." So any women in here have the TV remote in their purse with them? Oh, there is one! Yes, okay. And I don't believe I see your husband either, so that's going to be a fun conversation when you get home. Okay, welcome back to our series titled Reset, where we are looking at the prophetic message of Joel. Before I dive into this, how many of you enjoyed Pastor Gary last week and the word that he brought? Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord for him. The title of today's message from the book of Joel is Return to Me. Return to Me. Got another story for you. It's about a young man. He stormed out of the room and slammed the door as he left. Yes, he was caught lying to his dad, but he didn't care for the way that dad had scolded him. He didn't say a word as dad laid into him, but when dad was done, so was he. He was done. He was done with his house. He was done with these rules. He was done with doing what others were going to tell him to do. He was old enough to be on his own. There were plenty of jobs that he could find even without his high school diploma. So he stormed off in a rage and with a plan to launch out on his own. Dad waited up late that night. He waited up late the next night. The next night and the next. He wondered if his son would ever return. If he could ever have a good relationship with him again. Eventually, Dad stopped waiting up late at night. He had other children that needed his energy. He had other work to do. But he never stopped thinking about his estranged son. He never gave up hope that someday his son would return home. That sad but too often true story is a fitting illustration for the way our Heavenly Father looks at His wayward children. He never stops waiting. He never stops loving. He never stops holding out hope that someday we will return to Him. But this is something we also see, that God never forces us to return to Him. He doesn't come hunting us down when we're running off doing our foolish things and locking us up in chains and dragging us back into His presence. The Lord doesn't operate in that way. Rather, He lets us wander off far away from home, but always reminding us and giving us that comforting promise that when we return to Him, that He'll return to us, that He's there. He's there. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Even now declares the Lord, return to me. And I want to just say, as we're studying God's word, there's a historical aspect, the contextual historical aspect of the Word of God and what He has said. But there's the now, the here and now Word of God that is for us. His Word doesn't return void. He does not change. And He is still saying to His people today, return to me. And maybe He's speaking to you this morning. It's no accident that you're here. God is speaking to us. Even now, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. in the middle of the storm called life. How many of you know that life is a storm? Anybody here experience that? If your hand isn't up, you're lying. Life is a storm. That's just the way it works, right? Sometimes it's calm and often it's not so calm. But in the middle of life, in the middle of this storm of life, if we've turned our backs on God, if we've sinned grievously against Him, or even run from Him, our Heavenly Father calls and He says, "Return to me." And that's the first point of today's message. That's the first thing that God wants you to really take in. Return to me. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. God wants you back. You hearing that message? Is it coming through clear? God wants you back. That's His heart. He wants you back. He doesn't want you to run from Him because of your sin and your foolishness. We've all been there. I've sinned, I've done something wrong, I've been foolish, and so I better hide from God. Adam and Eve did that, right? They sinned against the Lord. And they hid, they ran away, they hid from God. We all have a tendency to run from God instead of running to Him because of our past. Things we've done in the past. Or even running away from Him instead of running to Him because of the foolish decisions we're making right now. And I'm looking around this room, and there's a lot of foolish decisions we're making. I'm not saying I know your decisions. I'm not going to start prophesying and calling things out. Don't worry, you can calm down. Nobody run out of the room. But the Creator of the universe, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb, the one who knows you like nobody else in the world ever has or ever will know you, He wants you to turn to Him, not to run from Him, but to turn to Him. There's a theologian, a professor, his name is Dr. Charles Feinberg, and he says this, quote, "This call to return dare not be passed over lightly, for it is the basic and fundamental plea of God throughout the Bible to all sinful men." Have you read the Word of God lately? It keeps saying over and over and over again, return to me. It doesn't keep saying, you dirty, rotten scoundrel, you better run and you better run fast because if I catch you, no. It says, look, I know what you've been doing, it's not right, but return to me. I don't want you to run from me anymore. I want you to return to me. And that's what the Lord says to all of those who are lost and all of those who are broken. Return to me. Return to me. You may be saying, that sounds great, Pastor Eric, but you haven't walked in my shoes, man. You haven't done the things I've done. You haven't seen the things I've done. You haven't said the things I've done. Man, you don't even understand where I've been. Besides, even if I wanted to return to God, I don't know how to return. How do I return to God? Well, the Lord's good. He doesn't make us guess about that. So let's check it out again in Joel 2, verse 13. How do we return? The Lord says, rend your heart and not your garments. He says, give me your heart. Open up your heart to me. Let me in. Let the walls fall down. Rend your heart. Contrary to popular opinion, returning to God is not about jumping through a bunch of religious hoops. How many of you have experienced that? Where it's like, okay, if you want to come back to God, then you got to do this, then do this, then do this, and you better do it right, you better say all the right words, because if you don't, He's not going to take you back. I mean, unfortunately, many of us have run into that over the years. But that's not how we return to God. We don't return to God by jumping through religious man-made hoops. Instead, returning to God is about getting real with Him at the heart level. Getting real with God, and God can handle you getting real with Him. Because here's the deal, He already knows it all. He's already seen it all. He's already been hurt by it all. There's nothing you can do at this point that's going to push God away. So get real with him. Open up your heart to him. Open up your life. Process what you've been doing, what you have done. Lay it on the table with him. He's a big boy. He can handle it. And so we rend our hearts. We bring it all out and we say, God, this is ugly. This is bad. I realize that I see it, but I'm putting it before you. And I'm asking you, God, forgive me and help me with this. So we're returning to him. Yes, we're returning with baggage and garbage and hurt and pain and sin and junk. But that's how we return to God. You're not going to return to him all cleaned up because you're not going to get cleaned up on your own. You won't be cleaned up until you get back with God and let him do it. Because only God can cover that sin. And he's done it through Jesus, his son. So we get real with God at the heart level. We humble ourselves. We get honest with the Lord about our sin and we simply surrender to him. I want to say this. This kind of returning goes way beyond just turning back to him because we long for forgiveness or we long for favor. It's bigger than that. It's okay to turn to God for forgiveness. We should. And this is part of it. And part of returning to God and turning to him is favor, forgiveness and favor. But that's not why we're turning to God. That's not why we're rending our hearts instead of our garments. We're returning to God because we're desperate for him. We're returning to God because we understand and see our need for him. I mean, we can't live without him. We can't deal with this life another moment without him. And we're returning to him because he's worthy for us to return to him. He's worthy for us to get real with. He's worthy for us to lay it all out there on the table and say, here I am, God, help. He is worthy. And so that's why we return to him. Not just what we can get, but because of who he is. We're desperate for him. So we return to him. You know, people were leaving Jesus when he was ministering on this earth. Can you believe that? I mean, here he is, the Son of God, fully man. Miracles. The guy never sinned. So if you ever talked with him, he'd never offend you. Well, unless you took up offense. You notice that? You notice that saying? I take offense at that. Dude, just stop taking offense. It's John Bevere calls it the bait of Satan, right? Stop taking offense. Anyway, I'm going off in some... Whoop. Anyway, come on, Eric. So people were leaving Jesus. They were actually running away from Jesus because why? Following Jesus wasn't easy. It was hard to follow Jesus. He runs at a little bit different pace than we do. It's kind of like when we were coming back from Mexico. You know, Pastor Phil had a little trouble keeping up with, you know, Wayne and Eric, you know, and Ed on the road. We were running a little bit faster pace than Pastor Phil was ready. You know, anyway, you know what I'm saying. The Lord runs at a little faster pace. They told us that the laws in Mexico are just suggestions, by the way. That's what they told us. Like, Mexicans told us that. So we're like, all right, we're going to take them at your word. Anyway. So people were running away from Jesus. And here's what Jesus says to his disciples. It's found in John 6, verse 67. You don't want to leave me too, do you? He said to the 12. These are his tight ones, right? The ones who've been there, done that, seen it all. They got the I'm a Jesus follower t-shirts on by that time, you know. We're the real deal. But Jesus is even looking at them. It's down to that. It's down from the crowds of thousands, you know, following him and not giving him any peace, down to 12 dudes. And Jesus is even looking at them and saying, are you going to leave me too? Can you hang? Are you going to leave me? Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Now check this out. See, look at, because sometimes it's like, God, I don't know. things aren't happening. I don't feel like a whole lot of change is going on in my life right now, and it's really actually kind of hard to follow you, and I'm not getting healed. I'm not seeing the breakthrough that's all promised and all that. I'm still struggling with this sin in my life, and it's just so hard to follow you, and so I don't know if I'm going to do that anymore. But Peter looks at it this way. He says, well, what else would we do? Where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Why do we return to God in the midst of our mess and our yuck and our sin? We return to God not for what he can give us, but because of who he is. He is, Jesus is the Holy One of God. He is our prize. He's our prize. Jesus is our motivation. He is our why. Why return? Because of him. Period. And so we return to God. And when we return to God, we return to God his way. We're going to return to God God's way. So let's get back. How do we return to God? God's saying, come on back to me. I know you're messed up. I know you're all messed up. But return to me with all the baggage and all the mess, right? How do we do it? Again, let's look at Jeremiah actually 24:7. Jeremiah 24:7 says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people. How many of you know the Lord? How many of you have a heart that's been transformed, reborn, and you know the Lord now through Christ Jesus? Amen. Amen. So that comes from the Lord. God says that I have God has given us a heart to know him, that I am the Lord, he says. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Check this out. For they will return to me with all their heart. Same thing Joel said. God said, return to me with what? All your heart. Fasting, praying, and weeping. We return to God with all our heart. We don't mess around and negotiate with him. Okay, God, I'm going to return, but this is going to be the terms for me returning. This is how I'm going to come. I'm going to come back. I'm going to keep this door closed. You're not going to mess with this part of my life right now. I'm just going to come back. These are the we don't negotiate terms with God when we return to him. If you want to return to God, which he's calling you to return, and we're going to find out how awesome he is when we return here in just a second, right? But we don't negotiate with the how. The why is Jesus, is the Lord, and the how is his way. We return with our whole heart, with our whole lives. With everything on the table, everything opened up, everything, we go all in. So what happens when we return? I guess it's time to pay the piper. It's time to pay. It's time to do some serious penance for all the, man, maybe a decade or more of running things our own way, man. It's time to get what's coming to us. Here comes the boom. God, I'm returning to you, Lord, with my whole heart, and I'm just ready for you to smash me and smack me upside the head. Oh, God, actually, check this out. Actually, when we humble ourselves, rend our hearts, and return to God God's way, it's time to experience uncommon compassion. That's point number two. The Lord says, return to me. You're messed up, return to me. I'm filthy, return to me. And when we return to him his way, this is what we experience, uncommon compassion. How many of you need some of that right now? Some uncommon compassion. Rend your hearts, verse 13, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. It's a great Father's Day message now, isn't it? It's getting better and better as we get into God's word and hear his heart, right? He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. To who? To those who return to him with all their hearts. He relents from sending calamity. Who knows? Verse 14. He may turn and even have pity and leave behind a blessing. Grain offerings and drink offerings for the Lord your God. Look, often, we know this, often we don't return to the Lord, or we don't believe we can fully be loved, accepted, and valued by God because we don't understand the heart of our Heavenly Father. We don't understand it. And that's understandable that we don't understand because we're processing life through our own lens. Do you have the mind of God? I mean, do you know all things? No. Scripture says we see through a glass dimly. And so we process who God is and how God's going to respond to us and how he's going to treat us based on a lot of our past and things we've experienced in life. And life has been hard. We've already talked about that. Storms of life, it can be difficult. And many of us have been mistreated in so many ways, and we have all this baggage, and we start putting that on God. We don't mean to, but we process who God is and how he's going to respond based on all that kind of stuff. We think God is harsh. And we underestimate his compassion. We underestimate it. I'd be willing to bet that everyone in this room does this to some degree. Underestimates God's compassion. And the word of the Lord is telling us today that he's gracious and he's full of compassion. It's a God-sized fullness of compassion, not an Eric-sized fullness, you know, not what the world can give fullness of compassion. People like to think they're compassionate, man. They don't even understand compassion when you compare that to the Lord. God-sized compassion. The story I opened with, you know, about that boy who got upset at his dad and walked out. He was tired of living under that house and those rules and all that, and he could make it on his own, and his dad stayed up. It obviously probably made everybody in here think about the prodigal son story, right? Sounds a lot like the prodigal son. And one of the many reasons that Jesus told the story of the prodigal son was so that we could understand the heart of our Heavenly Father. I think that's one of the main reasons that he told that story. So we could better understand the heart of God and not be afraid to return to him. I think it was fitting that the Lord gave us a word in pre-service prayer about fear and about letting go of fear, because fear can keep us from returning to God. And so as we release fear, as we're healed from fear, our ability to return to God is greatly enhanced. Let's look at Luke chapter 15, verse 17. Luke 15, 17. When the prodigal son came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.'" In other words, "I'll come back, God, Dad, just make me a servant. I'll just be a servant." So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and his father was so ticked off at him that he sent a bunch of thugs over to beat him up and send him back on his way. No. No. While he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with what? Compassion. How? There's that word again. He was filled with compassion. This son took all of his inheritance, blew off his dad, offended his dad, dishonored his dad, squandered it, embarrassed the whole family. And when his son comes back home, his dad doesn't bring all that up. He has uncommon compassion on his son. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to his father, "I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." How many of you sometimes feel that way with God? I'm not even worthy to be called a follower of you anymore, Jesus. I'm the only one, I guess. Okay, all right. So, Lord, minister to me right now in this. You're good, God. Okay. But the father says to his son and to his servants, he says, "Hey," now these are the servants, not the sons, right? He says, "Hey, servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger." And let me tell you what the Lord showed me for the first time this week. Maybe some of you are going like, "It's good that you're finally figuring things out here, Pastor." But when put the ring on his finger, that ring represents what? The covenant that father always had and never let go of, even when his son was off. Reminding his son, "You have a covenant." And reminding his son that he has an inheritance because he's still a son. Even though he ran off and did things foolish, he returned to his father, and his father gave him uncommon compassion, reminding him of the covenant, reminding him of the inheritance that he had. Didn't scold him, didn't beat him up, brought him back in, and what? He threw a party. He said, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead. It's where we are when we run from God. We're dead. You're not really living. You're dying. You're running from God, you're dying. You're running to God, you're living. He once was lost, but now is found. So they began to celebrate. Hey, I just want to celebrate right now. Because God's doing that in lives even right now in this church family. He is. Uncommon compassion he's having on us right now. Again, we don't return to the Lord. We believe he won't fully love us or accept us because we underestimate. We think he's harsh and we underestimate his compassion. You know, I'm going to tell a little personal story. My first 12 years of being married and then being a dad, I wasn't the spiritual leader in my home, my marriage at all. My wife is like a Jesus follower rock star type person, right? And she always has been. But yeah, come on now. She is. Pastor Gary would always say it this way. If you think I'm a man of God, then my wife is a real saint. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how it was rolling in our family. And he didn't say that about me, by the way. He said that about himself and his wife. But anyway, that's another story. So my first 12 years, I wasn't a spiritual leader. I didn't think it was ever going to be possible. The Lord got a hold of my heart. And if you've been in the belong track and the find your fit class, you hear more of the story. But here's the deal. And that's the first Sunday, by the way. Here's a pitch for find your fit, belong track. First Sunday of every month. Come on in there. We're going to share stories. I'm going to talk. We're going to have some lunch together. And we're going to help you find your fit here at Evident Life Church. And believe me, you have a fit. If the Lord's drawing you here, you have a fit here at Evident Life Church. So here's the deal. So I, 12 years, not the spiritual leader, and never thought I could be. God got a hold of my heart. I found myself falling on my face one day on my living room floor, rending my heart before the Lord, surrendering to him, saying, okay, God, I've been playing games, and I'm not going to play games anymore. I can't play games. I'm too desperate for you. And I went all in. And here's the deal. I was drawn to the Word of God, drew me to that place. And then I got in the Word of God 3 to 5 hours a day in those days. Because, man, I had a lot of making up to do. But not penance, but because there was so much amazing truth and power in the Word of God that I was so hungry and thirsty for, I couldn't put it down. And may that be true in your life even now, too. That you're so hungry and thirsty for His Word that you can't put it down. And I was just taking in everything I could take in. And the result was this. I started sharing what God was saying to me, what He was revealing to me in His Word. I started just running out of my office. I was working from the home in those days. Running out of my office, telling my wife and my kids, this is what God's saying. This is the Word of God. This is the heart of God. This is incredible. Woo! Right? And I'm sure Bill was like, finally, Lord. Wow. So I went from reading the Bible 5 minutes at night to just going at it, and he changed everything. It didn't take a decade to make me the spiritual leader of my home. It took 2 months, people. 2 months. That's what happens when we return to him and we rend our hearts. He puts the ring back on our finger, reminds us of that covenant, our position, our inheritance, our role as his chosen people, and he equips us, empowers us, and sends us out in his anointing. That's how it works when we return to God. Uncommon compassion, uncommon grace, that's God's economy. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity. Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing. I don't care what you've done. Doesn't matter how far you've run. He has uncommon compassion for you. And he's calling you to return to him today. Maybe it's an area of your life that you've just kind of been playing with and you're not all in, you're halfway in. Come on now, that's just halfway. There's no halfway. It's all or nothing, baby. Right? It's all or nothing. And the Lord is saying, return to me. Rend your heart. Go all in. Trust me with that other part of your heart, with that other part of your life, with your finances. Trust me with that. Trust me with your relationships. Trust me with your career. Trust me. Go all in. I got uncommon compassion and I'm full of grace, is what God is saying. Return to me. Amen. Here's the deal. One more point, and I'm just going to hit this quickly. God calls us to do this individually with Him, but this isn't an individual life that we're living, because now we're born again into the family of God, and we together, collectively, together, corporately together, are the bride that Christ is coming back for. And so as we see in Joel here, in verse 15, he's saying, let's return together. That's point number three. Let's return together. I'm going to read it. Verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion. Declare a holy fast. We've talked about that, haven't we? And then he says, call a sacred assembly. Hey, come on together. This is all in the context of returning to God. Okay? Let's not just separate these verses into separate truths. These all go together. The Word of God goes together. It's cohesive. All right? And so he's saying, return to me. Rend your hearts. Fasting and weeping, and get together and do it together. Do it alone, but do it together. Gather the people, consecrate the assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, those nursing at the breast, let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. I don't care what he's saying. I don't care what you're in the middle of. You come together. You come together. You come together. You know what? We get so stinking busy in life. And we let the most foolish temporary things keep us from coming together and experiencing the presence of God, the kingdom of God that He releases. Again, read the New Testament. Almost every single significant release of the power of God is when the saints are gathered together. Together. If you're like, I want to see more of God moving in the world today and in the church today, come on. Come hang out. We get together, man. We pray, we lay hands, we anoint with the oil. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. Whoa! Wednesday night prayer the other week. A tongue came forward, an interpretation. I mean, we're here, we're desperate for what God has. And if you're desperate, we do that together. You don't get it on YouTube. I'm sorry, you don't. YouTube is not the family of God. You can get some teaching and some truth, you know, from reading and watching and all that, but that's not the gathering of the saints. That's not the sacred assembly. You're not in the sacred assembly if you're sitting at home in front of a screen. The sacred assembly is the people of God coming together and actually being like doing life together. And I know it can be frustrating sometimes because some of you are difficult people. No, I'm just kidding. I can be a difficult person sometimes. I'll turn on myself. But we do this together. Let the priests who minister before the Lord weep between the temple porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord. Do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Look, church, he's returning for us, the bride. The people of God who are gathered together, consecrated before him together, 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 together. I want to read Jeremiah 3:12. Go proclaim this message toward the north. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry forever. The Lord gave this message to the people that were walking on the earth in the time of Joel. They had a need to return to God, and they'd done some horrible things. Yet the Lord, full of grace and compassion, said, return to me. This is also a message, an end times cry for people to return to him, for the time is short. And we need to be with him, in him, together. It's an end times plea, return to me. But it's also a message for each one of us today. This is a message for you. Again, you're not here by accident. The Lord is crying out to you personally, return to me. No, I already know all this stuff. Just come to me.